Kieran, I'm looking forward to good and talking with Luke Clark, Kieran, and Shock to the show. Let me, Tom Cormack, with you as always on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And well, it's All-Ireland final hurling weekend this weekend, and quite a novel pairing in action. It's Galway bidding for a first All-Ireland since 1988. And, well, Waterford, they have to go much further back. 1959 was the last time they won it. Later in the programme, I'm going to be joined by Colin Brannock from Waterford, of course, no stranger to Donegal and Donegal hurling, the man that captained Donegal to that All-Ireland Nicky Rackard Cup success a number of years ago. And, oh, great Galway man Ray Jurek is hoping to join us as well. He's been delayed, but we hope to have him as well, of course. Former Donegal long-serving player and indeed manager of Donegal as well, that enjoyed great success with them, took them to Division 2B of the National Alliance Hurling League just a couple of seasons ago. But first of all, Snyder, congratulations to Tyrone under-17s, first ever All-Ireland under-17 football champions. The Colin Holmes managed side defeated Roscommon last Sunday in the final, 218 to 15 points. That's how that one ended. And also congratulations to Derry Miners. Damien McAuleen has guided them to an All-Ireland final. They will play Kerry in that final. They defeated Dublin last weekend by 17 points to 14. So we're just going to go back actually, and we're going to get some reaction from both Damien and from Colin in relation to last week's game. After the game, Francis Mooney spoke first of all to Colin Holmes, the Tyrone under-17 manager.
Ollie, first ever champions, it must be a great feeling for yourself and especially for the young fellas.
Absolutely brilliant. You know, I've told them there, just we've got a quick huddle and just lap it up. You know, any time you come to Crewe Park is a special time when you're in the seats. It's more special to play, and when you win, you know, that experience is priceless. Lads, earlier on, the coaches were telling the boys that this is going to be an experience, and it's really up to them to make it into whatever type of experience it is, a positive one, a negative one. And you know, today, particularly in the first half, you know, they turned up. I think we kicked 7 or 8 straight scores, and ultimately that was the difference. You know, Roscommon come back second half and basically did us what we had done to them in the first half. And if they had turned up a wee bit earlier, we were in a real game. I think I'd go back to maybe 3 or 4 stage.
You came back to 4. Were you worried at that stage, sort of midway through the second half?
Cliche or whatever, but 4-point lead's a 4-point lead. Once you go beyond that, I know the crowd got a wee bit loud, so we just wanted to keep the Roscommon crowd, you know, quiet, because anything beyond a 4-point lead, you know, you're starting to get nervous. But Munro in the back line, McCusker in the back line, you know, this brilliant all year and turned up a day again for us.
The two Roscommon players, Collie, that played Runnigan Kerry in the semi-final, Peter Galooly and Paul Carey, you seem to have your homework done on those two lads from the word go.
Yeah, and maybe that's why the second half, that maybe we stepped off other players who stood up and kicked points. And I suppose maybe, you know, we could take the hit for that one. But, you know, through the Connacht into the All-Ireland series, those boys have been racking up, you know, 75% of the scores. And teams have forged it, so we had the plan around them. But again, I do think we stepped off maybe a wee bit shy on the rest of the lads. You know, I know Big Canan in midfield ended up kicking a few monster scores. And you know, maybe suppose that's where the gap was slowed to 4 stage.
Just when Roscommon seemed to be threatened, even though you had a comfortable 5-6 point lead, you got a wonderful goal by Gary Canavan.
Well, a wonderful goal from a wonderful player. You know what I mean? As simple as. We have lots of lads who are, you know, are talented, but I think, you know, in Dara we have something that's just truly special in a special championship. You know, and he really turned up the day and led the line. From minute one, I think he scored our first score, and threatened all day long, and has a great awareness of when to run and when to give and when to release, and you know, is a really exciting potential, I suppose, for Thrones.
An absolutely brilliant turnaround.
That's Colin Holmes, their manager of Tyrone under-17s, and of course the player he was speaking about there is Dara Canavan, son of the great Peter Canavans, and certainly, well, apples don't fall far from the tree when it comes to him. 1-3 last week against Roscommon, and he was the outstanding forward on view. So Tyrone, first ever All-Ireland under-17 champions, and of course the under-17 championship is going to replace the minor championship next year, so it's going to become a very important competition. Not to say it wasn't an important one this year, but it was run in conjunction with the minor, and I know there's big regrets in Donegal that possibly they ran Tyrone close without a number of key players who were tied to the minors at the time, a decision of the Donegal management and county board to concentrate and give preference to the minors this year. One just wonders. Tyrone certainly played both minors and 17s, and they came through and they've won a first All-Ireland. But that's that
of course, as I mentioned as well, Damien McAuleen is the Tyrod Derry minor manager. He has guided them to a second Ulster minor success this year, and now they're looking forward to an All-Ireland final following a victory over Dublin last weekend, 17 points to 14, how that's ended. After the game, Damien spoke to the media.
Damien, an absolutely brilliant turnaround. What do you put your turnaround down to?
Well, the boys have showed serious desire there. We tightened it up probably a bit in the second half in the sense of we felt they were getting through our defence far too easy in the first half, so we weren't protecting enough, so we felt we had to get more bodies back across the 45 and whenever we lost the ball and the turnover, so that closed that up a bit and gave our full back line a wee bit more protection. Then we sort of changed the boys about a bit in the full back line, and each one of them had a storm in the second half and showed immense character every time the ball came at them. You're dealing all Ireland semi-final stage, you're dealing with quality players in the opposition, and really pleased the last 15 minutes, the composure under intense pressure and, you know, a serious intensity. In the day that it was absolutely so humid out there, so the energy levels were seriously sapped, and our decision making and our score taking at that time was absolutely superb, and, you know, breaking ball as well. And then, of course, you know, again, we talk about the squad all year, we've talked about the squad, and it's it has been immense to have options to come in and change it, and every single one of them made an impact there.
There was a stage when there was pass the parcel and nobody wanted to shoot. Richie Mullen pulled the trigger. Huge moment.
Huge moment. Richie's quality player altogether. He's the boy you want in the ball, and the key thing is just getting him on the ball. And in that sort of game where it's tight and all the rest, you want to be getting it into his hands. So again, he produced the goods, and he has done throughout the championship mostly, and today was a good day for him.
And 12-10 down in the second half. Does there be a sense of panic? Especially, you know, you got a grip and then it was 12-10.
Yeah, look, absolutely. There wasn't a sense of panic. You were just saying, right, what else can we do here? Where are the holes at the minute? And thankfully, we seem to make the right decisions. And a few boys tired then. We're fit to bring in others. Like Marty Bradley came in there the last 10 minutes. It was superb. And so, again, we're up the road tonight and we've used 21 players. Like that's just pure class for a group that's trained so hard. We've got to 12 months.
And I spoke during the week about being Ulster champions and about pushing the next level. You know, and could Derry do it? And Killian talked about it. You've done it. What made the difference between the last 2 years and this year, in your opinion?
This is a strong group, to be honest. Their mentality, their physicality, their ability. It's probably just the strongest group we've had. You know, there's a whole lot of multitude of things. Then, I suppose, if the management's just third year in experience, that helps everything as well. But look, the maturity of the group has been mighty after each win that we have had. The boys have been grounded again on Tuesday night. You know, even when we won Ulster, there was no sort of sitting on a cloud for 3 weeks. We absolutely went back at it and we're giving Sligo the utmost respect. And same again for the day. And of course, now we're in for a mighty challenge now in 3 weeks' time against the Kingdom, you know.
How do you sum up Owen McGill in a couple of sentences for what he did in the last 15 seconds there? Like it was manly stuff, really.
Absolutely immense. He knew that was the game there, just right there. I mean, the referee, there was 67 minutes played, or 68, or maybe 69. There, for you to say there was another game playing it, so just 9 minutes equals 7 now. So we worked very hard for decisions all day. So the bravery of Owen McGill just to put him in sort of where we were in that second half, and all the different elements that we had to come up against. I never seen nothing like it in terms of having to go against the elements.
And final word on Kerry, with Kerry going for 4 in a row. What's the thoughts, first of all, if there is any?
It's great to have the thoughts, Michael, and we're going to the final. We're not going there just to take part. It's we want to go out and give our best, and we think it's going to be an epic battle. It's something that we had targeted at the start of the year. Ulster was first, but certainly an All-Ireland final the second, and we've encountered Kerry the last 2 years on the way to the final, and we've seen that they were going to be on the other side of the draw if we kept winning, and thankfully that's come to bear, and we really get our house in order over the next 2 weeks and go.
That's Damien McAuleen, manager of the Derry Miners, who are looking forward to an All-Ireland final meeting with Kerry in 2 weeks' time, following that 17-14 victory over Dublin in Croke Park last Sunday in the semi-final. And of course, Dublin will play Mayo in the All-Ireland senior final following their respective victories over Tyrone and Kerry last weekend, and certainly a big disappointment, I know, in Tyrone following that heavy defeat at the hands of the Dubs, and a lot of soul searching had been done this week. But certainly Mayo looked impressive too in their victory over Kerry, or demolition job of Kerry really, I suppose, on Saturday afternoon. So it should be an interesting final, but that's to come in a couple of weeks' time. But one thing we know for sure is that Waterford and Galway are facing off in this year's Senior Hurling Championship final. That's this Sunday in Croke Park, and it's Galway and Cork in the minor final as well. But it's probably a novel pairing in the senior final. And I think a lot of people, a lot of neutrals actually, who would probably normally be for Galway, are a little bit certainly phased this week, as to, because it's been, what, 1959 since Waterford last won it. And I think Derry McGrath and this Waterford team have captured the imagination of quite a lot of people as well. Remember, they lost their first round game to Cork in the Munster Championship, but they've come through the qualifiers and they avenged that defeat over by Cork in the first round of the Munster Championship, when they defeated the Munster champions in the All-Ireland quarter, or the Munster finalists in the All-Ireland semi-final a couple of weeks ago. We're hoping to be joined by Ray Durick of Galway shortly. I know Ray got held up on his job. Actually, he's up tonight in Inishowen with the Donegal County Council, obviously clearing up after last week's storm, but he hopes to join us before we go off here. But I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by one happy Waterford man already, here decked out in his colours, Colin Brannock. He's just informed me he's got his ticket for the final tonight, so he'll be going home now to pack the case. First of all, obviously looking forward to the final, Colin, and did you expect to be in it?
Oh God, we never expect anything in Waterford, but it's great to be in it. It's absolutely fantastic now to have the county back in something like this, you know, and it puts a buzz in the whole thing again. So,
What's it like? Obviously you're not down there, but what are you hearing?
Oh God, that there's cautious optimism. I think Waterford got burned badly in 08 when we met Kilkenny in our last All-Ireland final, and I think, you know, people are afraid to be too optimistic about it, but there's a real buzz going on in the county in the minute. And of course the usual ticket hunt is on, so if anybody out there anyway has tickets, you can contact me, no problem at all.
I'm sure coming from Waterford, coming from Waterford. And as I said, you know, Derek McGrath, who I'm not sure how many years, a couple of years manager now, and certainly there was a lot of despair, I'm sure, after that first round defeat to Cork.
Of course there was, but I suppose people forget that that was a very good Cork side that came back into the scene this year. I suppose Waterford were caught a little bit flat-footed in that they hadn't played in 11 weeks by the time that match came along. So they were kind of, I suppose, rusty. But what's great to see is that when the last game happened in the semi-final, it kind of showed the Waterford mettle again. And that was a very, very tight game in the semi-final until, of course, the Corkman got his second yellow. But it was great to see the improvement.
Tell me, 1959, you weren't about, but what have you heard about it? I'm sure it's in folklore. We've all heard of Tom Sheesty and people like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's talked about all the time at home, and even when we were growing up as kids, we were fortuitous in that the goalkeeper of the 59 team, a fellow by the name of Ned Power, he actually coached my club team for a while, and he was a great stick man and understood the intricacies maybe of striking ball and improved us. But I mean, we grew up with the likes of, you know, Philly Walsh being talked about, and Cheesty and all these fellas, and they were our heroes growing up, and it's great now that we're able to add the present crop to it. I mean, we grew up the likes of Milan and Ken McGrath and all these fellas, Paul Flynn, who never got the chance, you know, to win, and now maybe here's the next coming. So let's hope so.
And that 59 final was after a replay. Kilkenny in a replay, which was achievement.
That's right, because I remember last year when Waterford drew in the semi-final to Kilkenny, people were saying it's echoing the 59 final all over again, when the first one was a draw and they came back and actually won the second one. So you know, let's hope there'll be no draws this year. Just a straight win for Waterford I'd take, Tom.
And talk to me about hurling. Is hurling played all over the county, or is it, it's the main game, obviously?
It is played all over the county. I mean, I tell people up here, I'm sure if Ray was here he'd be saying the same. I mean, with the health and safety rules now, and being a teacher, I see health and safety every day in my life. But when I grew up in school, you picked the hurley out of the bucket on the way out for your lunchtime, and you played hurling at lunchtime, and then you went out.
And you would probably be in a more football oriented.
Yes, I'd be from the west of the county, which is traditionally more football.
The Gaeltacht part of it.
In the Gaeltacht part of it, yeah. But It's this year they're very much in the intermediate, and they were a senior club, so we played senior now in both codes down home at the minute.
And have you anybody in the squad? Or
we have. There's a lot of us, Tom, at home. So the last time Waterford were in, or the Unrang were in the final, there was five of my brothers playing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So,
but is there anybody from your club in the current Waterford squad?
No, the last fella from the club was my brother Donal Branagh, who was in the squad until last year. And then he actually went off to LA to work, and just he hasn't regained his place, you know. But he was under Derek McGrath and them, just so he was the first ever fella from our club to get a crack at the county.
And 2008 was the only final since, was it?
It was, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, and don't forget, it was the old system, so you had to overcome Tip and Cork to get in there, and the minute you lost, you were gone, you know. So 08 was the last time since 1963. They were in it in 1963. Kilkenny beat them again in 63, and that was the last time Waterford were in the All-Ireland.
And what, they won three, is it, or two?
They won two. They won in 48 and they won in 59.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it certainly would be welcome, wouldn't it?
It would be fantastic. I think Galway, they won three times in the 80s, so that's recent enough for me. I think Galway have their fill now.
Yeah, yeah, but Galway, hopefully we'll get Ray. Galway have lost, I think, something like 8 or 9 since the one in 80s, I think.
But I'll go back and say, I mean, they won three of them in the 80s, you know, yeah. And they've been in seven, I think, since.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was at the 12 final between Galway Kilkenny, where it was a draw as well. And when you came back, you always felt Kilkenny would win the replay on the way back. But to me, that was the best chance Galway had of winning it. The following year, it was Galway Kilkenny again, and they only lost by 4 points. You know, mm-hmm. So Galway have been thereabouts for a long time. I think it's the team, too, that people see have been coming for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're big and they're powerful, and I think the biggest drawback they've had for a long time is people have always said when Joe Canning doesn't play well, Galway don't play well.
Yeah.
But now you have Connor Whelan scoring for them. Connor Whelan is scoring. I think he has scored something like 116 in this year's championship. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So that takes the pressure off the Connor Cooney, another fellow who's scoring for fun as well. So when Joe Canning doesn't play now, they have these other people coming up to score.
They needed Joe the last day, though.
Did to some point, yeah. But then that's the class of a great player. I mean, he's a fantastic player and a class act. I saw Galway playing Dublin in Tullamore this year, and it was a joy to see them playing. I mean, they are a fantastic hurling team. And I'm sure, I know it was in the media and in the Twitter and all that, but I mean, we saw for ourselves when we were down there, the Galway players, Joe Canning in particular, stayed out in the field for 20 minutes signing young players' jerseys and taking pictures and selfies and all that.
Yeah.
Like, there is something class about them as well, you know?
And there's none of them under 6 foot.
They're absolutely massive.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over it. They're huge. But they don't, when they play then, it's not taking away from their pace, you know, but they are very big men. And for Waterford to, in my opinion, Jamie Barron is probably playing the best hurling of his life. People are talking about him as player of the year. But Jamie Barron isn't 5'9". I mean, he's going to be up against fellas who are 5-6 inches bigger than him. So Waterford will have to play a clever game.
Talk to me about this Waterford team and Derek McGrath and this sweeper system that's so criticised.
I know, but see, I do laugh about this because, I mean, people talk about Waterford and the sweeper system. I mean, in all reality, and I go to a lot of hurling matches, it's very few teams that aren't playing this sweeper system, as they call it. I heard Derek McGrath yesterday in his press conference call it, he called it something like bordered flair or flair that's just being corralled a little bit, because he doesn't want to take away. I mean, no one could tell me that the goal Austin Gleeson scored the last day wasn't a fella playing off the cuff, because that is what's happening. But I think what Derek has done, he's brought just a little bit of order to the flair that's always been in Waterford. And while we talk about the sweeper system and how well Tadhg Na Bhuirce is playing in it, it's asking a lot of the other players. There's an awful lot of running up and down that field to cover it, you know. And all Waterford are probably doing is just making sure that we don't get exposed. The Achilles heel of Waterford for years has been letting goals in. I mean, we were at a Munster final last year and Tipperary put 5 past us. I remember being in an All-Ireland semi-final against Limerick, and they scored 3-4 goals against us when Dan Shannon was playing. You know, every year we come away and we say, why isn't somebody looking after this backline? And now that we have it, we have, I suppose, so-called purists saying, ah, oh, geez, we shouldn't be doing that. But, I mean, I'm a happy man. We're in the All-Ireland final, and I don't care if we put listen, everybody that's out there behind the ball, we want to win this.
I think Kilkenny used the sweeper a couple of times.
Everybody's using it. But it's just, for some reason, when other people, not Waterford, do it, it's not called a sweeper system. They call it rotating forwards or deep forwards. They were calling the Galway system the last time in the semi-final against Tipperary. Everyone's talking about how the Waterford or the Galway forwards are playing deep. But sure, that's exactly what Waterford are doing. But it's, for some reason, because Derek McGrath was the first fellow who brought it, kind of made it very obvious what we were doing, it seemed that that name stuck, that we were the ones who were playing the sweeper.
Tell me
system.
about you mentioned Tadhg De Burca there, where he missed the semi-final through suspension. Is he going to be back, do you think?
Oh, he will. There's no doubt. Tadhg is very important to that team. And actually, as a matter of fact, and I'm sure other people have heard this, even during the semi-final, there's a thing going around at the minute that people write something on their hands or, all these. Well, everybody in the Waterford team had a stamp, the number 5 stamp on their hand the last day, which is Tadhg's number. And, I suppose any motivation will work. But it was funny because somebody on the commentary picked up on the stamp on Kevin Moran's hand and thought it was that he had a life membership for Coppers. But it wasn't. That wasn't what it was.
I was in Coppers the night before.
But obviously that is not what it was. No, it was the stamp for Tadhg missing the match.
And tell me, Derek McGrath, I've seen where he actually took time off, the year off his teaching job, to concentrate on managing.
Yeah. Well, look, we can only imagine what kind of time something like this takes. I mean, even up here with the football and, the amount of time people like Jim McGuinness or Rory Gallagher, it's probably nearly impossible to be holding down a full-time job.
And he said his reason for doing it was that he's a maths teacher, I think, and he couldn't do his job teaching.
Well, he was saying that there were times he caught himself with a class in front of him and him thinking about what system they were playing tonight or who would play midfield, or, and he probably felt it wasn't fair in the children in front of him. Now, having said that, he's back to school tomorrow, I think. So so he had to, he took his leave, but he's back at work again tomorrow. So
And obviously there was controversy too for the after the semi-final.
There was, and I think it's an awful shame that happened, but I think Austin Gleeson is very, very lucky that he's not missing his All-Ireland in reality. And I think, consequently, I would feel very sorry for Conor Gleeson, who's missing out on the thing.
But is it not a case of, justice, like if he had done it earlier in the season or league game, he'd have missed a league game. Missing an All-Ireland, is the punishment too big?
It probably is, but I suppose the way the laws are at the minute, people seem to be get away with appeals and stuff, and then other people don't. And for some quirk of the law this time, if the ref feels that he saw it and dealt with it, the appeals committee don't go near it. So, I mean, they're sticking to the rules, and it's he's very lucky, though. He's very, very lucky to be. But, I mean, listen, as a Waterford man, I'm delighted to see Austin Gleeson playing in All-Ireland final.
Thought we guess the question, Clark, come and Luke Class, Gael and Shockton show. That's the voice of Colin Brannock, former Donegal All-Ireland, Nicky Rackard winning captain, and of course, a Waterford man, as you've probably gathered if you've been listening for the last few minutes. Our apologies, but Ray Jurek unfortunately cannot be with us tonight, but we'll have to try and talk about Galway for a minute. You've talked about them fairly often, fairly well anyway. The one thing I looked at tonight, and I'm sure, because Galway, by and large, are the favourites.
Yeah.
But the one thing I looked at tonight, just when I was doing my little bit of research and getting ready, they've only scored 2 goals in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first day out in Leinster against Dublin.
Yeah, but I suppose the converse of that is they're racking up regularly 24, 25, 26 points. So, I mean, even with goals against them, you're going to have to score an awful lot to try and stay with this Galway team. They are fantastic at using long range points to go. And if you see their forwards running down wings, and they're not afraid to take their scores, and they're getting scores from midfield too. I mean, Davy Burke is scoring for fun as well. So they're racking up huge scores. They're not probably as incisive in the goals, but the last time somebody said that about Waterford, they ended up going out the next day and scoring 3 goals. You know what I mean? That was a complaint about Waterford for a while too. I'd be very wary of saying somebody isn't scoring any goals, because you'd be afraid that there'd be a backlash.
Having said that, Waterford are scoring goals this year.
They are now, and I think even with the Cork game the last day, if Waterford are given space, they have the know-how now to exploit that space. So once Cork had a man sent off, the Waterford kind of style of play suited attacking the space, and they were able to run riot, and that's why the goals were coming in, you know, because they're moving up and they are attacking space.
John Milan said, I think before the start of the championship on RT, he said on national radio, he said that if Waterford win the All-Ireland, that he will ride a horse new down Main Street in Waterford City. So, I think it's
did he mean the horse would be new to himself? I wonder. I pity the horse, that's all I'll say.
But obviously, do you think he will?
He said he would. He's doing a Gary Lineker on it, I think. But
well, will he have reason to?
Well, let's hope he will. Yeah, wouldn't it be just fantastic to see a team that hasn't won since 1959 and who have given so much entertainment to hurling people out there? I mean, the names, you could go through the names through the 80s and the early 90s. Some of the best hurlers in the country and not with a Celtic cross. It just wouldn't be great to see a hurling county like Waterford come out with an All-Ireland at it.
Would it do, obviously, to do a lot? It'd be a big, would it be a setback if they didn't, given the effort they put in?
I don't think so. Not with this crop. This is a young crop. I think if they don't win it this year, it's coming. It's very, very close, I think, you know. And if they do win it this year, we could be winning three or four of them.
So this could be the start of the treble.
This could be it, yeah.
That's the voice of Colin Brannock there. Unfortunately, my apologies, Ray Jurich just couldn't be with us tonight, so we had no Galway voice, so don't be accusing us of a bias. But
He was afraid to be grand.
But my thanks to Colin Brannock, and my thanks to Jimmy Stafford on sound. Of course, that All-Ireland final is on Sunday. It's Galway versus Waterford, and in the minor final it's Cork versus Galway as well. So the tribesmen looking for a double, and just to remind you again, it's Dublin versus Mayo in the All-Ireland senior final. That's about it for me from this week. Just to remind you, we'll be back again next week, and well, plenty of club action coming up in the coming weeks, so we'll be concentrating on that. And of course, club action in Derry and the Tyrone senior championship will be getting up and running pretty soon as well. But from me, Tom Comack, until the next week, I think we're just about ready to go to the newsroom in Dublin. Slán agus Bannacht.